Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Talk All Ashes, the podcast that covers all things Ashes of Creation related. My name is Ferenczi, Variety MMO Gamer, joined by my brother Subjective.
Hello again.
Today's podcast and all podcasts, again, we're just trying to break down information, give you some of our thoughts and experiences, having played MMOs for quite a while, and just give you some more information and just, you know, kind of talk about the game in general and what we hope to see and all that good stuff. And if you enjoy that, we would love for you to like the video, comment, subscribe on YouTube or your podcast, service of choice, and join us on Discord as well for the conversation. But as is our new ritual, we're going to start off by kind of just talking about what we've been up to the past week. What have you been playing, Sub?
I resubbed to WoW.
Yeah.
I fell back in the MMO hole after 6 months. Yep, I know.
What you been doing in that?
I just been goofing off, you know, leveling up. Blizzard was like, hey, you resubbed a WoW and you didn't pay for the Epic Edition, so we're going to give you War Within beta anyways. I don't know why, but they did. But a lot of things they're doing is cool. I might be able to, you know, play WoW without, you know, having to spend a stupid amount of time on it with a new expansion. So, like I said, Ashes is going to be my main game going forward, but it hasn't launched yet. So I'm still going to have that MMO itch from time to time. So
there's nothing wrong with that. Like I know you're like the more true MMO player, so like I think for a lot
I'm very like I, yeah I'm very very sentimental. While it's been a huge part of my life, so I'll probably never truly give it up. I mean, when Ashes actually launches, I don't want to get too far into this because it's like our introduction, but when Ashes officially launches, I'll probably be able to bury it then, but I'm still gonna like follow it like story wise on the side because I'm always connected to it. But yeah, I mean, Alpha 2, like I said, I'm more interested, like I'm gonna play Alpha 2 a lot, but I'm more interested in launch Ashes of Creation and not, you know, Alpha 2 because it's the game's not complete. So, but I do want to help shape the game. So like I said, I don't dump an insane amount of time into alphas, but I will be playing a significant amount of them, more than I would. So gotta find other things to do.
No, that's totally understandable. I get it. You know, I recurringly go back to Tarkov. That's kind of my game that I'm permanently hooked on. So I definitely get that. This week I haven't really been doing anything too crazy. Some Overwatch 2. I've been playing through a little bit of Red Dead Redemption 2 through the single player. Just trying to get caught up. And in the summertime, I usually play a lot of single player games and try to get through some games in my backlog. So that's basically what I've been doing. But yeah, we're going to just kind of dig into some weekly updates. There's been too much since our last developer update, which was again last week with Node Wars, which was pretty awesome. If you didn't have a chance to see it or listen to our reaction on the podcast, you definitely can do so. There's some stuff on Twitter where they mentioned that they're like having testers play test new builds with like a select group of players, which I think is pretty cool, kind of in preparation for Alpha 2. So I look at that as a pretty good sign that they're kind of getting some stuff ready, maybe for, you know, new folks. I think they have folks in the, I think it's called the Phoenix Initiative. So some kind of people that are digging into the game before we even get our hands on it in Alpha 2. They didn't mention that if anyone is interested in their Discord, the Ashes of Creation Discord, you can go to community office hours on June 11th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And that's kind of like where people can, you know, ask questions and dig into things. So if you're interested in that, certainly something that you might want to check out. But as for today, and pretty basically, I think, for the whole month of June, outside of the June developer update, which is at the end of the month, we're going to be kind of taking a look at the economy. It's definitely something that's come up a lot in our conversations. I bring it up frequently because it's something I'm really excited for and something that I have a lot of interest in. But today's episode is not so much digging into any necessarily too much of the mechanics or anything like that. We're going to save that for some future videos this month, but more so just kind of talking about like what we're hoping for with kind of a true player-run economy, maybe some things we're hoping to see, some things we'd like to see, some things we're concerned about, you know, whatever really. But yeah, so we're going to dig into that a little bit and go from there. If you're looking for more specifics, stay tuned. I guess I'll just kind of start it off here. Like, I don't know, what are you hoping for from a player, or just an economy in MMO in general, based off your history, obviously, with WoW and other games? Like, what are you looking to get out of it?
Probably just, like, the cool thing is like, just going around, like, maybe you're roaming around. Like, I'm not sure, like, I think it's going to work this way based on what I've looked on. There's going to be, I'll get into a little bit of mechanics and then explain what I'm looking forward to. There's going to be player stalls, which cost a rental fee. They can be rented out in an economic node or in marketplaces. An NPC can be assigned to the stall, so you don't need to be online to sell things. It's linked to your warehouse, so you can kind of just, like, sell stuff. Then there's player or personal shops where the player has to be present. It's a more unique building. It's linked to your inventory. You can have custom billboards appear above the character. Items are not listed in the parent node or auction house. So it's kind of like, seems like personal shops you can rip from further away. Whereas stalls are like, in the same region.
So, but what are you, like, looking forward to, though? For, like, what do you want?
That's what I'm trying to get into, is like the coolness of just walking around and just seeing everyone's stuff.
Okay.
I guess, like, I know it's like a weird thing. I know I kind of went off too hard and like trying to explain it, but I just want to just walk around in the world and like see people's shops. Like, I'll give an example. Like, in 7 Days to Die on some big servers, you can walk around and see what people like build these stores and shops, and you can see what they're selling. And to me, that's kind of fun. I don't know why. It's like shopping in real life, but not, I guess. It's just kind of cool to see what, you know, people can do with it. And hopefully, like, maybe they'll make it really customizable, so people have unique stores and stuff like that. And it's like, I don't know, I'm just interested to see what it does to the world. Like, you know, it'd be cool seeing shops set up, and like I said, hopefully customization with first shops, so they're all unique looking and just stuff like that.
No, yeah, I'm definitely excited to see some of that stuff. You would have definitely, Star Wars Galaxies was probably, and I mentioned all the time, but like probably was one of my most played MMOs, ones that I actually stuck around the longest with. Of course, it got shut down, but it you would have liked it for that reason, for sure. Especially later on in, you know, Star Wars Galaxies kind of life cycle was really digging into like that kind of element where you were walking around and you just like, there's like cities. And then there was kind of like a buffer zone. And after that buffer zone, there's all these different places, on the planet where, and there's multiple planets where you could like throw down your house, your shop and stuff like that. So that was really cool getting to kind of see that. You know, some of it was just like bulk housing. Like you just see a bunch of houses and sometimes people would have like, there's shops within it, like an NPC or like a vendor that you can kind of like buy stuff from that like people were creating, which is really cool. Sometimes there was like guild areas like where, you know, they'd have designated shops and stuff like that. It was a blast. I'm definitely really looking forward to that. I think with like, you know, this game really having probably the closest thing to a true player run economy to Star Wars Galaxies is something really excited for. I've kind of talked about it in bits and pieces through over the course of other, some of our other podcast episodes, but really just like that idea that you're like there's so much that can come from, you know, having a basically a fully run player economy and, you know, like emergent gameplay. I've mentioned this story before, like in Star Wars Galaxies where I used to barter with people, right? If they didn't have credits and things like that. So I think that's really what excites me. I'm going to throw out a random game here. I think you've played this as well. And something that I really enjoy and I'm hoping to kind of get out of an Ashes of Creation, because, you know, there's certain limitations to like as a crafter, and we're going to get probably more into crafting next week, but there's certain limitations to like the crafting system, like where you can only max out essentially a couple different skills to be like the very, very best at them. You can do some other skills, but you won't be able to kind of hit the top tier. Is it kind of creates this reliance on each other, which I really like. And it's something that happened in a game called Eco. It was kind of like a Minecrafty type game where, you know, kind of a similar idea. You could only have like a couple of like skills that you really maxed out, and it forced you to really rely on people and kind of create this like, you know, reliance and this like social dynamic of like, hey, like, you know, I'm really good at mining and, you know, blacksmithing, but I need like other elements from other people who are master crafters. So it kind of creates this big like social network, and it's just like a really fun thing to kind of like manage as part of a game, because I don't know, I for me, like, the social aspect is one of the most fun things like in MMO. So I don't know, I hope we get that kind of level of kind of, you know, needing each other and being able to sustain ourselves. And I think a player economy offers a lot of that, which, you know, a game that doesn't really have that you know, lacks really.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you kind of said what I was trying to say, but way better. I kind of tripped on my words there, but yeah, that's what I kind of meant. It's like just imagine you're roaming around, but this guy, you know, he's got a siege workshop, you know, for your node wars or whatever you want, right? Or node sieges, and like, he makes the best stuff, and he's got good prices. Like, that to me is like, I like that sense of community. It's like, I know this guy. He sells good siege weapons, and you know where he is. You know his name. He's on your server. I mean, like I said, it's just that community feeling. Like in back in the day in old WoWs, like, you knew all those players back then. Even though it was probably nowhere near as complex as or open as Ashes was, but it's like you knew people by, you know, just looking at them in the distance by like what kind of gear they had. I mean, it was just like community, you know. Even if I sat in Ironforge a lot, it was just cool seeing everyone every day, chilling, going to the auction house. You know, it's just cool stuff. Like, I like that. That's what MMOs, I feel like, are really missing these days.
Yeah, and just to go a little bit further into it as well, like, I've never been a huge fan of, like, games where it's only possible to get gear and like materials like primarily through raiding. You know, World of Warcraft obviously fits under that category, as well as many other MMOs, because I feel like it just limits, you know, what people can do. And I'm all about, and I've said it many times, like, I think the more kind of roles and like niches that people can kind of create for themselves in a game is going to really make the game more interesting and more fun, and people can find more play styles that they can engage with, you know. And I do believe, and it's, I think we need some more information on this front, but, you know, because it sounds like there's some potential in very rare cases maybe to get fully crafted items like drop from, you know, whatever, whether it's a raid or a mob or something like that. But for the most part, it's going to be dropping you know, glint, which can be kind of turned into money through various means and spent in some other ways. And it's going to be, you know, just to kind of give people like an idea, like, hey, like, we got to kill this dragon. You know, we kill the dragon, they drop like a really rare crafting material versus dropping the whole item. So like, maybe they're dropping dragon scales. So now with this dragon scale, right, you carry that over into potentially like, all right, I got to either, can I use this myself? Okay, if I can't use this myself, maybe I need to establish a relationship with like an armor smith, or, you know, somebody, or a leather worker, whatever kind of role kind of, you know, relates to that. And then, you know, as you kind of mentioned, like, that creates like a connection, right? There's that like kind of ongoing connection. And to me, that's really interesting, because like, now you've created like, hey, maybe like, I don't want to craft, or I'm not interested in crafting, but I really love raiding. And so I can still participate in the economy, which is, you know, primarily gold based, glint based. And now, even though I don't want to like go to all the trouble of like crafting this armor myself, you know, maybe I can be the supplier for this blacksmith I know, which earns me money, which I can then take that money to either buy that armor right from that guy, or find, you know, other things that I need to buy too. Right. So it kind of allows you to like specialize and kind of find a role that like suits you, rather than being forced into, you know, something that you're not really interested in. Like for me, like, I don't really like raiding. So like for me, I might be more of the armor smith, or like the crafter who's taking on these resources or paying for these resources and then selling them, and then still getting access to the things I want without having to engage in a part of the game that, you know, just really isn't interesting me. I think that's really the player run economy. Like, what makes it so truly interesting is when you have like a focus on just earning money, gold, glint, whatever it may be, you can then like focus on the parts of the game you like, and kind of hopefully kind of, you know, ignore the parts of the game you don't like as much.
Yeah, and exactly. And then players can set what the boundaries are, like you were explaining, like PvEers kill dragon, they get dragon scales, they bring it to guide to make XYZ, whatever they're used for, right? And then maybe in the future they're like, well, you know, we'll hook you up with Dragon Scales for free if you repair our armor for free. And then that opens up, like I said, you don't like Raiden or PvE Raiden, and you can still get those access to those mats because, you know, full player run economy means everyone can participate, whether it's you don't like PvE, you love PvE, you love sitting in your shop crafting all day, you love, I don't know, maybe like fishing all day, I mean, or just gathering all day, or maybe you like farming mobs all day. I mean, everyone has different play styles, so this, like I said, it allows you to focus what you want, right? Like I said, you'll still be able to benefit from the PvE aspect of the game, even if you don't, you know, raid, because you could, you know, trade for those goods, or maybe you're really good at something the raiders need from you, and then they'll pay you in raid in mats, or, you know, whatever. It's, that's how it kind of can kind of work out in a way.
Yeah, for sure. But that's the goal. And like you said, it's going to be interesting to see how it all balances out. Obviously, Star Wars Galaxies, you know, had some issues for sure. But I think some of that was more of a technical level. You know, obviously there had been some more like sandbox MMOs in terms of like crafting and economy and stuff like before Star Wars Galaxies. But I think a lot of the issues like that came up with Star Wars Galaxies was the limitations of, you know, maybe the game at the time, you know, it was, you know, the engine and things like that. But I just love the idea of like, you know, really kind of going through that journey with, you know, crafting and the economy in that way. You know, like I was a doctor, like that was one of my main roles, but I had some other stuff I was doing, you know, to make these cool buffs, to craft these really amazing buffs. So it was like, all right, I got to put down the miners to get the chemicals and the materials I need. And then from that, I need to convert it into like some other materials. And from that, I can actually convert it into like the buffs. So it was always like this kind of like sense of like, I don't know, like from kind of like making things from scratch, which I found to be really cool. And I think we are going to get some of that in Ashes, just purely based on like some of the roles. I'm not sure if you've even like thought about it, like some of the stuff that, you know, some of the crafting and the roles and the things like we're going to have in Ashes. But was there any like profession in particular you're interested in, maybe, or like thinking about? Are you going to really dig into like the crafting and the economy stuff? Are you going to leave that to others? I know I'm really going to dig into it, but I don't know if you had thoughts on like what you might do like in the game in terms of like, you know, crafting or economy or stuff like that.
I am 1000% going to dig into crafting, because I love that, but I just have not. I kind of want to see it in action. I know there's plenty of information of it out there on the wiki and stuff, but I kind of want to wait till Alpha 2 to kind of dig into it. I'm kind of like not spoiling myself a little bit. I just want to see these systems in action, right? I know they won't be probably fully implemented or, you know, in Alpha 2, but like there's quite a large list of what you can do in the game. And like I said, I kind of prefer gathering more than anything. Like, I don't really like going out and just like farming mobs to, you know, like skin them or get meat off of them. That's not really my jam. So I'd probably be more into doing stuff like mining or lumberjacking, or, you know, gathering flowers.
Yeah.
You know, or something that, like in that vein. Over killing. I mean, I do plan on playing a ranger, so maybe I can kill really well, and I might end up doing that anyway. I guess I gotta see how it works. You know, I don't want to judge it before I get it in my hands. And if, like I said, it's still alpha, and if it's not, you know, if like maybe skinning or cook like and collecting meat off of animals is boring or something, it's like I just don't know how these systems work, and I personally kept myself in the dark on that, so I don't want to speculate on. But like I said, I prefer the gathering stuff. Animal husbandry sounds cool too. It depends how it works. So basically, it's a wait and see for me. But
no, definitely did. Now, one of the things that's interesting about, and you'll have to like inform me a little bit here, because this is based on based on some ancient memory from World of Warcraft, but although we did do some crafting and stuff like that in Dragonflight, but more resource gathering than anything else. But are resources essentially fixed within World of Warcraft? Like, if you're mining copper and tin in a certain place within World of Warcraft, do they always spawn there? Like, or is it like, does it shift? Does that make sense?
It's primarily zone based. So like, you're gonna find, at least how it was designed back in the day, you would find like lower level mats like copper, right? Copper is like the lowest level map in World of Warcraft, at least in vanilla, right? So the game has changed quite a bit since then, but like, I'll give you an example from a vanilla standpoint, because like, copper was always found in low level zones. It wasn't always found, and like, it could respawn in the same spot. I think they had a system in WoW where like, if a lot of people are farming in an area, more stuff would spawn. And I kind of see what you're getting at here. I think Ashes has a more dynamic system for that to shift people around, which is cool. But yeah, WoW was like level based, Matt. So like, the higher level your character was, the higher level zones you could go to, and the better mats you got. Nowadays, it's just more like, you know, you actually have to level it up and then put some effort into it, because they have overhaul crafting in the recent expansion. So it's a lot different than it was, but yeah, it's kind of still like, I wouldn't say it's as deep. Like, based on what I read on Ash's thing, it's like based on how many people are farming in the area for respawns, and you just fly around. It's not really too crazy, but I'm definitely interested in what Ash's is doing in regards to this system.
Yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head as what I was driving at, which was kind of like, if you like the idea more of like, and there's still uncertainty based on kind of what I was reading about it.
Sorry, I just wanted to, you're talking about the world manager, right?
I was talking about like more like the resources kind of moving around, kind of like the world.
Yeah, the world manager algorithm, that's kind of like controls it. Yeah, okay. So I just wanted to make sure. So yeah, I did read about that. And yeah, I think this is way more interesting than how modern WoW and even old WoW does it.
Yeah, I think it opens up a lot of opportunity, which, again, anything that's like kind of like dynamic like that, I think is really cool. Because, you know, one of the things like in, you know, the traditional MMO, it was like, well, you know, the resources are generally fixed kind of like in these certain zones, in these generally particular areas. And, you know, to me, that just makes it kind of, you know, it's whatever. But I like the idea potentially of like resources maybe getting relocated, maybe even potentially like on a larger scale. I don't know if that's the eventual plan, but like, hey, let's like maybe iron. We really need iron, and we've depleted all the iron like in this one node, and now it's shifted into like another node. Because I think that could create a lot of interesting things happening, because, you know, it doesn't just mean like, hey, this one node is like always going to be like the producer of iron. It means that like people are going to actually have to travel around the world, and people are going to have to like think about logistics and like maybe getting the resources back to wherever they need to smelt it or to sell it. Or maybe like, you know, fresh off of the Node Wars developer update, like could maybe that become an issue if like you're at war with a node. Now you're having to, if like this iron deposit shifts into your this other node that you're at a war with, now that might become a whole nother, again, thing gameplay wise you're gonna have to worry about. Like, hey, like, you know, in my guild we need to get a little group going so we can go out and get some iron, so then we can turn that into, you know, equipment or repairing equipment. So now we have to like put together a little mercenary group that can go out there and protect like the crafters, which again, I think is awesome. I don't know if everybody would, right? Cause some people that, you know, they're crafting, they just want to be left alone and not have to worry about stuff like that. But I think, again, it just makes for more interesting gameplay, when you're kind of forced to go beyond your element.
Yeah. Also, I'm thinking about this as a two-pronged approach. It also makes for more interesting gameplay, cause the world's always evolving. Like you said, iron might not be in the same place all the time, and that's a good thing. It's also a good way to counter bots, because in classic WoW, bots were a huge problem, because, you know, they know exactly the paths to take to farm the mats, right? So like, it's a good way to kind of shut down bots if the world manager is always kind of like pushing people to random new spots. Maybe certain, like maybe something there won't spawn that you need. You know what I'm saying? It's also a good bot. Not only is it good for engagement, but it's also a good counter to, you know, bot in, which is, I think, a good idea.
No, that's a great point too. I didn't even think about that, but because yeah, we saw it in Dragonflight. Like we were farming out resources, and like you would just like be flying around trying to get your, you know, your resources, and you're competing with like all these bots, which was, you know, frustrating. So that would be a really good way to kind of combat that. If it's a little bit more randomized, if it moves to certain areas, if it's kind of like constantly kind of in a state of flux, then hopefully that means botters are gonna have a harder time, or they're gonna have to go to a lot more effort to you know, kind of do their botting and selling their goods and stuff like that. But
I'm actually really interested to see how this world manager works out, because it sounds really cool. I know some people might be like, dang, I just want to go to the iron spot and farm my iron. I mean, I get it, but I feel like if you're gonna have a player run economy, you gotta have something like the world economy. Maybe they can have some static things, but I think you've gotta have something like this in the game to not only counter bots, but to get, you know, people engaged. Like, there could be big wars that start over this, which could be also fun. I guess some people might not like that, but like, if you're a crafter and you need these goods, maybe you just let them go fight the war. You sell them the weapons to fight the war, and then exchange, like I said, player economy. You exchange that, they exchange the goods because you gave them the weapons to fight over this resource, right? That's what kind of opportunities this opens up, which is, I like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to get creative to engage with these systems. Like I said, you don't like to fight, you like to sit in your blacksmith. Well, hey, I need this. So you say, I'll give you the weapons. Go get me the iron, right? Or whatever you need. I like it.
No, I agree. I think it just makes for a lot more engaging gameplay. You know, I definitely understand, like, and I kind of mentioned it, like, yeah, there probably will be some people that like, hey, I just want to go to the iron spot and mine and be left alone. But like, I just don't feel like that creates like a really living, breathing world. You know, it just like, you know, I kind of look at it almost like Minecraft. Like, to me, if Minecraft, like, if you went to the same spot every single time and, like, to try to get, like, iron, like, to me, that would be interesting. Part of the fun of Minecraft is, like, you know, exploring, not knowing exactly where you're going to find necessarily resources, kind of like that sense of discovery. So I think that could be really cool. But it's really interesting. I'm excited to see. And like you said, like, that is, like, the benefit of a player-run economy, truly, is that, like, if you don't like PvP, if you don't like you know, doing raids, but if you spend a lot of time like honing your craft, again, maybe becoming like a master, you know, blacksmith, then, you know, maybe you don't have to do that stuff. Like you said, you just use the gold you're earning and pay someone to go out and get the ore for you. Or, you know, maybe you find an ore supplier, somebody that does like going out and doing that. And then you can just kind of focus on the things that you like. At least that's kind of the goal. That I imagine, you know, something that a player economy really enables is really, because when gold is, you know, gold glint is really like the focus. Really, it's gold because glint's not really tradable. It's a bound resource or a bound commodity that can be turned into different things. But, you know, when you have like this one focus on gold, it really opens up the possibility for doing kind of whatever you want, because with that gold, again, you could pay for services, you could pay for materials, you can kind of, again, create like new types of gameplay based on, you know, you paying people, hey, I got to run a caravan of, you know, this item to this area. I need you to, like, I'm going to hire some mercenaries to defend me, you know, things like that, right? It opens all types of gameplay up for folks, but because you all are relying on that one type of commodity, gold in this case, which is pretty cool.
It's also more than just mindless gameplay. Like I've been doing some farming in WoW recently, and it's just like, oh, I'll just get on my mount and I'll just fly around and pick flowers for an hour. It's kind of boring. Honestly, like, this creates more fun. Like, I mean, big wars could start over resources. I mean, I love all this stuff. Like, you would never see something like that in like World of Warcraft. Like, you know, a lot of people just turn PvE mode on and just, you know, farm for hours and then call it a day. So,
yeah. And really too, and I haven't talked about this yet, but like, there is something special too about like kind of creating something, particularly when it really is so player driven, like creating items and even using them, like really using them like for yourself or like for your guild mates and stuff like that. For me, it like adds like another level to the game. You know, it's not just like, hey, I'm crafting this and then maybe I'm like putting it on an auction house, which, you know, there are auction houses within certainly within Ashes of Creation, but there's also, as you mentioned, like player stalls and like marketplaces and things like that, where you can actually have like rent a stall and have like an NPC sell your goods for you. You know, like that's something that's really cool. You know, like creating these things yourself and selling them. Like one of the things that like I loved in ArcAge was like one of my all-time favorite things was like, you know, working with your guild and your group to, you know, put together all these kind of complex things you need in order to build a ship, right? Like it was, you know, a really big undertaking depending on the type of ship that you built, because there was just so many things that you needed in order to get it done. Obviously there was, you know, lumber needs and like wool for, you know, the sails and, you know, just like a million other different things that you really needed to make this happen. And like really kind of having that like all come together and like be able to actually create something that's really usable, I think is really fun. And I kind of jumping back a little bit here. That's why I think I'm really interested in like carpentry because it can kind of lead into like some of those bigger things, potentially down the road, like ship components, siege equipment, right? All these kind of big things that, are going to have a lot of, you know, purpose. And that's to me another important thing of a player economy is having a lot of purpose. One of the things I love that Ashes of Creation has talked about in the past, I think when they did like I think it was a video on freeholds and, like you got to actually, and Steven was talking about how like things like decorations and like furniture and furnishings within your house are going to have like a mechanical benefit for having them in your house. So like that chair is not just, you know, for looks, it can maybe provide some kind of benefit, whether it's like sitting down in it and getting rested XP, or maybe it's having another item within your house that can give you other benefits and buffs and things like that, which I think is really cool. I think that's really important for like, you know, making every area of the economy and crafting really useful, is having like some kind of benefit and mechanic to them, even with something that seems maybe a little trivial, like, I don't know, decorations in a house.
Yeah, I like that though. I like that a lot. And you're also saying you might go carpentry and stuff. Maybe like, I'm going to throw out a hypothetical here because I, like I said, I have not dug too much into this. So I'm just giving you a little heads up. Like maybe you go into carpentry, right? And maybe I focus on like lumber milling and lumberjack, and where maybe you do a little bit of lumber milling, but I'm out there farming. Like we're brothers, right? So we can kind of like sync this together. Like we could become like, you could become a really insane good carpenter, but I could go out there and farm for you because maybe you don't like that, and then we split the money, right? So that's these are kind of like potential cool things with a player-run economy, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like that's really what excites me more than anything, is like kind of like, so that like social dynamic, you know, the fact that like, you know, if I'm doing carpentry, like maybe you're doing something else that pairs well with it. So like, there's almost like this cooperative dynamic to it. You know, and I love that. Like, that's really fun to me, is like kind of yeah, like that reliance on each other. And like, you know, we're helping each other out. We're like splitting profits, and like, you know, it's kind of like, it's almost like creating like a business, like in a way. And like, that's really kind of interesting to me, is, you know, maybe like, we have a freehold together, and like from that, like, you know, we have like some businesses that like kind of, you know, stem from this. Maybe we find some other people too, whether they're in our guild or like elsewhere, we're like, hey, like we need you to get XYZ, you know? So like, to me, like that, just like, that's just, even just thinking about it now, like, you know, theory crafting a little bit here, but it's just a lot of fun. Like, I think that's just awesome.
Or we manage to get a freehold, right? And we're really good at carpentry, lumber milling, and lumberjack, and us, you know, us two combine, right? And then people are noticing, and maybe they want to join our freehold and like participate, and we expand it into other things like fishing or hunting, weaponsmith. I mean, the possibilities are just crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, since you're on static servers, like, you know, you'll make a name for yourself. So like I said, you can end up benefiting, like, maybe you're the best carpenter and people come to you for all the carpentry things, and we have a freehold, let's just say, and then our freehold benefits because we actually get more people want to join our freehold because we have, like, we're really good at what we do, and they want to, and they were like, well, you guys don't have a blacksmith, maybe we can set up a blacksmith here, and, you know, we charge them a little taxes, and you know, they benefit, we benefit. It's just cool. I like it.
No, yeah, definitely. And it's going to be, and it sounds like from what they've talked about in the past, I was looking at a quote from Steven that was saying becoming a master crafter. And so we're not going to dig into crafting like the nitty gritty this week. Hopefully next week we'll dig into it a little bit more. But just to kind of give you a general breakdown is you can become a grandmaster in up to two professions in the artisan branches, and you become a master in three professions. So grandmaster obviously is the highest, master is a step below that. So like, that's going to be really interesting. And Steven kind of mentions like, hey, becoming like a master in this, it's going to take a lot of time and resource investment. But like when you achieve that, it's going to be like significant enough to where like people on the server are going to know who you are. Like that's the direct quote from him is that when you achieve that status, it's people on the server who know who you are. So like, to me, that's like amazing. Like it's just kind of like that, you know, level of dedication and like commitment is going to be so significant. Like you're going to be probably like at such like a high quality of the things that you make that people are going to be like flocking to you, maybe from, you know, around the server to try to get like, you know, certain goods from you. Like maybe for us, it might be like, hey, maybe we make ship components and ships and stuff like that. And so people like for when they want a ship built, obviously we haven't even seen Sea Combat yet, but it's supposed to be in the game. You know, hey, it's like we got to go to Sub and Frenzy and we got to get like our ship components from them. Like they're the best, right? It's going to be the highest quality. So like to me, that's just really exciting. And it was similar in Star Wars Galaxies too. Like they had like kind of an advertising system within the game, and like you got to know people who were like the best of the best. And a lot of it depended on like the resource quality, which could vary based on like where you get the resources from. There could be slight differences in terms of like the quality and like of what you were getting, whether it be more durable or more effective or more damage, depending on what item it is. But I just think that's awesome. Like I can't wait to like, you know, really, really dig into, I'm going to be really into PvP, but as I've mentioned before, but right behind that is going to be me crafting my ass off, just trying to get to like the top of the food chain in terms of being a crafter.
Yeah. And this is definitely stuff I want to mess around with in Alpha 2. I don't know how implemented this will be in early Alpha 2, but like I said, I want to try it out. Like maybe you want to be the carpenter, I'll be the farmer, and just see how it goes. You know, I don't mind farming like trees and stuff, and it depends how involved it is. So
yeah,
like I said, you might not like going out in the world farming the mats, and maybe I do, but you like crafting, and like I'll go farm the materials, you craft it, we split the money, you make a name for yourself for being a really good carpenter, but we also provide all the materials, so we may benefit with a lot of money being sent our way, or we make connections where a guild needs our carpentry, but we need access to blacksmith and stuff, and we just outright trade. I mean, it's like I said, the openness of a sandbox economy is the negotiating and just the anything you can do. You don't have to use gold if you don't want to. You can trade, you know, your own skills or out there and stuff like that. And I like that a lot.
Yeah. All I can say is I hope with gathering trees as like a lumberjack or something, I hope they adopt the Valheim system where you're dodging for your life in some cases with these trees coming down.
I mean, if there's other players near me, I don't mind cutting a tree down and it falls on their head.
Wow, that's tough. Yep, watch out if you're out there and Sub's chopping trees, because he might be trying to target you with it.
I mean, it could get me corrupted, which would be...
Yeah, it was, I don't know. You know?
I'm theorizing, like, yeah, I don't think that would happen, but you never know.
Yeah, that would certainly be a funny way to get some corruption.
I've not read anything on that, so, I mean, you never know. Things change over time.
I'm sure there's going to be people that will find out. I hope we do find out more. We haven't, you know, since, like, they did, I think, the Freehold overview, which is quite a while ago, I believe. I don't think we've actually seen much about the economy, so I'm hopeful that we get maybe like a... I would love to get like a deep dive on that. Obviously, the next developer updates sounds like it's gonna be kind of like tech heavy. Maybe they're gonna give us some of the back end things that are kind of going on at that nature. But who knows? Maybe in July we'll get some crafting and stuff like that to find out more. Because I think that's one area we don't really know a lot about in terms of Alpha 2 is like how many of the professions are gonna be in, like how much are the professions gonna be, like how in depth can you go with it?
They did say they're gonna write up how much stuff will be in Alpha 2 as they get
Yeah.
closer to launch. So we will know. We just don't know right now,
Right.
but so we will know. We should know, like I said, they're pushing closer to Alpha 2 here. So when they do a write up or a blog post, I don't know what they're gonna do exactly. They're gonna list out everything that's gonna be available at Alpha 2, what's in, what's not in, type of deal.
Yeah, for sure. Well, man, I feel like we've had a pretty good conversation here about definitely crafting. Are there any concerns you have about, this kind of having like a player run economy? Or is there any, I know we've talked a little bit of like botting, but is there anything else that you're concerned about or thinking about in terms of like, having a really open economy like this in a game like Ashes?
There's always concerns, but I did a lot of digging on the Ashes Creation wiki, and I found that like I said, they talk about some of the concerns. Like one of them is obviously real money trading and botting. I'm not gonna get too much into this, but they said they're gonna, crack down on these people hard. They're gonna ban them. Obviously, you're never gonna catch everyone, so the community will have to, report players too if the devs cannot. Like I said, you'll never be able to fully, deal with this problem. But if you could deal with it enough, if you're aggressive enough of dealing with botters and cheaters and gold sellers, real money traders and stuff, it shouldn't be a problem. As long as they have severe penalties for these players, it should be fine. So, like I said, I don't want to get too into this because we've talked about it before, but it seems like they are going to be going after this aggressively. So that's good enough for me to hear, right? And wow, they don't. So like hearing that they want to actually ban people for engaging in these types of things is fine by me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we have talked about it a little bit in the past. But yeah, for me as a Tarkov veteran, I've seen like the impact real money trading RMT can have. And so that's probably my biggest concern, especially with a very player run economy, a very open economy. It's very easy to trade and to give people money and stuff like that. So that is always a concern. Because there's always gonna be people willing, and in some cases I don't blame them. Like when you can earn real money and and some of these places for folks, like I don't blame them for going out and doing it. It just sucks because it can kind of like dilute the economy and it can kind of like mess things up and it can kind of just devalue like what you're doing because it's like, well, like I go to all this work, but there's just people that are like, can invest more time than me that can sell these goods for actual real money instead of investing their own time. Like that does suck. And the thing that always scares me with RMT is it leads to so many other things. Like in Tarkov,
Well,
go ahead.
sorry, I just want to chime in real quick. Yeah, RMT leads to the pay to win thing, which Ashes is not gonna have. Wait, right? This is kind of like pay to win, but out like it's banned by, Intrepid, right? They're like, no, you cannot do this, but people will do it anyways to get an advantage, right?
Yeah.
So, like I said, as long as like I understand why people like I understand your concern, I understand a lot of people's concern, but as like I said, as long as they crack down on it and ban people, we should be okay. It's the biggest problem is inaction leads it to fester, and then it just gets out of control. They have to be on the ball from day one going after this stuff. Like I said, they're not gonna catch everything, but the amount catch as much as you can, and it should be fine.
Yeah, definitely. And my point was just RMT is kind of like a cascading thing. It leads to other kind of negative actions within games. Like in Tarkov, it leads to people cheating because how are you going to get more gear for people and survive because survival is a big deal in Escape from Tarkov. Well, you cheat, right? That way you can always kill everybody that potentially could kill you and lose your stuff too that you are going to end up selling. And there's been there was like last wipe there was actually just like big loot vacuums. Like cheaters would come in and basically just
I heard
vacuum the
about that.
loot. Yeah, they would vacuum all the loot to themselves, and so like all the good stuff was gone without you ever interacting with it and like kind of getting to experience it in the actual game. And so like that's always kind of the scary thing, and that's why I think RMT is such a big deal. And it is exciting to kind of reading up on this topic. They're thinking about this already. Probably won't be an issue in Alpha 2, obviously, because like persistence is not going to be a really big factor in terms of it carrying over to like the main game. So this probably will be something we're just going to have to like kind of see and deal with in the actual release of Ashes. But I'm glad to see they're thinking about it already because it can be a little scary to you know, because it can ruin games, you know, because it, like I said, RMT leads to a lot of other things. It can lead to people, like, you know, exploiting. It can lead to, like, all different types of things, because when you can actually earn real money from it, like, of course, you're going to do everything you can. Like, you're going to bot, you're going to cheat, you're going to do whatever you can to get as much money as possible. So hopefully they'll be, they're thinking about it already. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of pivot away from this, because we probably could talk about it from forever. And I think, sure, like, there really isn't much more to talk about it. Intrepid just has a crackdown on RMT and cheaters. But another thing I was reading up on was theft, right? So there is, right now, you cannot steal from another living player. So meaning, like, you know how, I'll give you an example. Like, at Skyrim, you could be a thief and you can walk up to them and pickpocket them. You cannot do that right now. You can loot their dead body, right? And I also wanted to point out that corrupted players will not be allowed to use the storage system. So that means if you're a corrupted player out there causing chaos, killing people and stealing stuff off their dead body, you have no way to store that. That means, you know, people can come back at you and gank you and get all their stuff back. So if you're like a bandit type player, you can't store your stuff. So I just wanted to point out another, like, it's kind of like, I guess it's not really a con, but it's kind of like, because it kind of relates to the economy, because you can kill people and loot their stuff. So, like, people who, like, focus on killing people and looting their stuff, you know, will eventually run into a wall because they can't store any of it. So I just wanted to point that out for people who, you know, because it is a PvP game. It's a PvX game, but you can always have a chance to be ganked out there unwillingly, and then that person will get corrupted because they ganked you and you didn't agree to PvP or whatever. So I just wanted to point that out, that if corrupted players gank you too much, you lose your stuff, they can't store it, so there's possible ways for you to get it back. Just want to point that out. Just a little fact I found while digging through the wiki, which was kind of cool.
No, yeah, that's definitely a good point. And it's something to be thinking about. Like, I'm glad that there are going to be mechanical restrictions within Ashes, like, for stuff like that. Because, I mean, if there wasn't, then you'd, I feel like the game would just be roving bands of people trying to gank you for all your gear and stuff like that. You know, and
it would be like your typical survival game where you just, you know, camp people and gank them and steal their stuff. This kind of prevents it. I mean, they can steal to a degree. Like I said, the system isn't fully fleshed out yet. They could change it in some ways. I do think they want some sort of sabotage and stealing in the game, but I think they just don't want people to be randomly running up, ganking, stealing loot, and then just burying it into their storage forever. It's like, it's kind of a way to punish you for ganking. Unsanctioned ganking, I'm kind of guessing, like, that's in the game, but you, like I said, you get corrupted, so you can't store it. So it's like, oh, you got ganked, well, they got corrupted, so they cannot store what they stole from you, so you can kind of go find them and kill them and get your stuff back, or maybe some mercenary or the PvP military node will deal with these guys and get your stuff back for you for a small fee or something.
Yeah, or just, you know, the fact that it makes it more difficult, right? Like, yeah, sure, maybe you can get away with it, but you're going to be limited, like, in, like, all right, if I took some of this person's stuff, then I got to do something with it right away. Like, I got to turn that around immediately, whether it's, like, sell it on the black market or whether it's, like, you know, sell it to somebody else, or, you know, so there's going to be just a limitation where you can't, like I said, go out with, like, you know, 100 people in your guild and just go destroy everybody and take all their stuff and, like, keep it in your storage. So there is going to be, like, it's going to be more challenging, right, mechanically, which I think is a good thing. I think that's smart. Otherwise, you would kind of end up with it just probably these crazy roving, you know, bandits going everywhere, killing people, taking their stuff, storing it, and then selling it later.
It would just be a Zerg fest because people just camp everyone. It would be hard to do stuff out in the world if, like, you know... If you like the world, what was it called? The
world manager?
The algorithm. World manager, like, it pops up a thing, and it's like, you know, you get there and you farm it all, and then all of a sudden a bunch of people gank you and just take it. And, you know, like, if you don't, I don't think, if you're not flagged for PvP, then, like I said, they become corrupted. So they can't really store it into storage systems. They may be able to do other things with it, but it at least gives you a chance to try and get it back.
Yeah, and I do believe Steven's talked about too, might have been the Caravan PvP episode, where I think you can get like a portion of their stuff. You don't get all of it, like whether it's like you get a portion of their stuff from like their materials bag or something like that. So it's not like, I don't think it's like Tarkov where you can kill them and take all their gear and things like that. It's more like you can take like some of their materials or maybe like some of their glint, and it's like a certain portion of it.
Yeah, I think they want more sanctioned stealing than just random ganking in the world. Like, I don't think they have anything wrong with random ganking and people stealing stuff. But like I said, they definitely have restrictions on it right now that they talked about.
Which is good.
And like triggering a PvP caravan is clearly going to be open for attack. So, like, you may not get all the loot, but the point is like, that's where they want the majority of stealing to be done in sanction stuff like that instead of just grief ganking out in the wild. Like, it's doable, but you know, you're gonna pay, you could pay a heavy price for it, because the more corruption you have, right, the more people you grief gank, I wouldn't call it grief gank, the more people you gank that aren't PvP flagged technically, the more corruption you get, and the higher your corruption get, like, you could lose everything when you finally get killed. So
yeah, and there's a lot of downsides to corruption too. Like, you can lower, I believe, your like stats and stuff like that. But I think it's a good thing. And this is coming from, I know, like, I'm sure there's people that maybe are interested in that like pirate bandit lifestyle. Like, oh, this sucks. Like, I should be able to get everything and keep it. But as somebody who has engaged in that type of, you know, like in Atlas, for example, you know, being a pirate, like taking people's stuff and like pirating, which is really fun, right? That's part of the game. And like, that's part of what you're supposed to do. It's an intended feature, and it's fun. Like, it's just fun to kind of like play that way. I try to be a good guy in most games, but like sometimes if games allow for it, it's just fun, you know, to be a pirate, to be a bandit. You know, in Ark, it was like, you know, breaking into people's bases and like taking their stuff, and or in Rust, right? Those things, you know, they're part of the game. They're really fun, but like, it should be intentionally more difficult, right? It shouldn't be on the same par as everything else, because, you know, you're taking something away from somebody that has probably invested a lot of time and effort into it, and to be able to do that and just take it away with, you know, maybe you just get ganked randomly by a bunch of people and it's kind of out of your control, I don't think would be that fair. So I'm glad to see that there, you know, there is kind of a limitation to make it more challenging, to make it more difficult. And to me, that makes it more fun too. Like, when you're, you know, pirate or bandit, and like there's these additional challenges beyond just, you know, killing the person and stuff like that, I think that makes it more fun and interesting, for sure.
And also, it doesn't, like, you still can do these things. It's just like,
just harder,
you know, it's more difficult. Yeah. So there's still going to be but also there's sanctioned PvP, whereas like maybe you initiate a ocean journey to transport goods, but that'll be flagged for attack, right? So
right,
other players might be able to engage in that. So like I said, it's not, like I said, the unsanctioned stuff is still there. It's just, you know, you just got to be ready to pay a price for it. Like, if you do it too much, you're gonna actually lose everything, right?
Yeah,
you become too corrupted, and then like one person will see, like, you'll literally become so corrupted, you'll probably be flagged on the map, and people will just, like, beeline you and be like, oh, well, this guy stole so much crap and ganked so much, I'll just kill him, and he'll drop all of his loot, even his gear, so.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how it plays out, the unsanctioned versus sanctioned stuff, and obviously it's going to need a lot of balance and intestine and stuff like that.
Absolutely, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think that's everything that I wanted to, like I said, just kind of like an economic overview, just talking about like the economy in general. We're going to dig a little bit more into some of the nitty gritty stuff. I'm really excited to talk about like the crafting, because again, as I've mentioned, that's something I'm super interested in, but we'll save maybe a deeper conversation for maybe next week on that. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about economic related?
No, I think we covered, like I said, there's a lot more to talk about, but like I said, our podcast would be like 5 hours plus long, and I don't think that's ideal for a podcast. We'll probably get like I said, if anyone's interested into the, you know, the nitty gritty, go to the Ashes Wiki, and if you're not, like, just wait till Alpha 2 comes out, and we will, hopefully, our goal is to maybe make videos of this stuff for our YouTube, and then after the actual Alpha 2 is out, maybe we'll have more information, so maybe we could do a follow-up to this podcast to see, you know, what was in, how things are working currently in Alpha 2, you know, just, you know, small follow-ups to see what our thoughts were and what the systems in place were at the time on the wiki, and just, you know, just do a small follow-up in the future.
Yeah, the if anybody's interested in the economy page and in Ashes of Creation, the wiki is absolutely massive. So yeah, we could spend hours upon hours and days upon days trying to break down.
Yeah, everything. We didn't even cover a fraction of it. There's warehouse. I'm just gonna even say there's warehouses, auction houses, bulletin boards. Like, there's so much stuff to cover in the economy. We're just kind of covering like some of the basics of the economy. And like I said, we'll probably go into deeper dives like when Alpha 2 actually hits, and maybe make videos on it. I mean, and other people might make videos on it too. So
yeah,
it's too much to go over.
Which is great. Like, that's going to add a lot of depth and excitement. So definitely gonna be a lot of fun. But yeah, I think we'll go ahead and wrap up here again. If you didn't hear me mention a few times throughout, a plan is probably to talk about crafting a little bit more depth, something that I'm really, really pumped for. Kind of go into maybe some of the nitty gritty and like some of the professions, and maybe just kind of go talk about that a little bit more in-depthly, all the different things you can kind of do in there. But yeah, that's kind of it for today. Just kind of an overview of the economy, and basically just talking about the economy, what we hope to see. Things like that. But yeah, if you enjoyed, if you're watching/listening, there's not much to watch on YouTube, but you certainly can listen by the video. Subscribe, like, comment if you'd like to see more, or if you'd like to see us talk about certain elements or things related to the economy, particularly this month. We'll be definitely interested in that. Join our Discord as well. The description is below if you're interested in kind of diving in a little bit more into that. Leave us a review on your podcast service of choice, or, you know, any questions you have, you can certainly throw them in there too. We'd love to hear from you. But that is all. That's going to wrap us up, and we appreciate you joining us, and we will see you next week.
See you next week.